Now, if you'll turn in your Bibles, please, to the 16th chapter of Acts. I'm going to read beginning at verse 6 rather than at verse 1. At verse 6, and we're going to read through verse 10. Now, I want you to notice the personal pronouns here. As we begin in verse 6, the writer, who is St. Luke, Luke wrote the Gospel of Luke, he wrote the book of Acts, and as we begin in verse 6, he uses the third person plural pronoun, they. But watch what happens when we get to verse 10. Suddenly he switches to the first person plural, and it was at this point that Luke actually joined St. Paul. Now, we believe that the Bible is the only infallible rule to guide us in our faith and in our practice. Hear what God says to us in this portion of His Holy Word. And they went through the region of Phrygia and Galatia, having been forbidden by the Holy Spirit to speak the word in Asia. And when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia. But the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. A man of Macedonia was standing, beseeching him and saying, "Come over into Macedonia and help us." And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go on into Macedonia, concluding that God had called us to preach the gospel to them. Now, our meditation today is a continuation in our series on biblical roads for believers. Our road today is entitled, "The Road to Somewhere Else," subtitled, "Knowing God's Will." Our text, "And when they had come opposite Mysia, they attempted to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus did not allow them. So, passing by Mysia, they went down to Troas." May God bless to us this reading from His Holy Word. To His name be praise and glory forever and ever. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, let us pray. God, as You directed Paul by Your Spirit, so we need to be directed too. Give us insights today to understand when You close doors and when You open them. And give us the wisdom to know the difference. For we ask it in Christ's name. Amen. Our text for this morning says that Paul and those with him tried to go to a place called Bithynia, but the Spirit of Jesus prevented them. I've always wondered what that meant. How did the Spirit of Jesus prevent them? In what way were they stopped from doing what they planned to do? Have you ever had the Spirit of Jesus stop you from doing something? If so, how did He do it? Well, that's an interesting question, don't you think? Paul fully intended to go to Bithynia. He must have said to those who were traveling with him, "We're going to Bithynia." But then something happened to cause him to change his mind. Suddenly, they were not going to Bithynia anymore. Instead, they were on their way to Troas. Did that mean Paul was fickle-minded? Did that mean Paul was wishy-washy? No, not at all. It only meant that somehow the Spirit of Jesus had worked in Paul's life to change his direction. As he sought to be sensitive to what God wanted him to do, he had to change his plans. Have you ever had to do that? Have you ever decided that you were going to do a certain thing or move in a certain direction and then had God change your mind? I have. There have been times in my life when I said I was going to do a certain thing and then God began to work in my life and I did what I said I wasn't going to do. Well, that means two things to me. When Paul said he was going to Bithynia, that was Paul speaking and not God. He may have thought he was doing what God wanted him to do, but he was the one making the decision, not God. Certainly, I'm often guilty of that. Are you? Things come along in life, and for whatever reason, I make a decision about something. I say, well, I will never do this, or I will never do that. I may think I'm in God's will, or I may think I'm doing what God wants me to do, but often looking back, I have to say, it wasn't God, but it was I. The second thing it means to me is this. If we are truly and earnestly trying to do God's will, and if we are really being sensitive to the Holy Spirit, God will prevent us from making a mistake. Isn't that what happened to Paul? When Paul planned to go to Bithynia, it was really not God's will, even though Paul may have thought it was at the time. But the fact is, when they came opposite Mysia and it was time to turn towards Bithynia, since Paul was really trying and really wanting to do God's will, the Bible says the Spirit of Jesus prevented them. I don't know about you, but that gives me a lot of comfort. As long as I'm trying earnestly to do God's will, even though I'm about to do the wrong thing, God will redirect me. So Paul planned to go to Bithynia. I wonder what would have happened if he had. Suppose he had ignored the Spirit of Jesus and gone on to Bithynia. What would have happened? What would have happened if the gospel had gone instead to the wandering tribes of Central Asia? What would have happened if the gospel had made its way instead through the passes of the Himalayas, pierced to the banks of the Ganges, the Indus, and the Godavari? Perhaps then it would have made its way on to China. And today, missionaries from India and China and Japan would be making their way to the barbaric shores of a pagan Europe or to a desolate America. But God's plan was different. God conferred upon the Western world a blessed priority to receive the gospel first. Why? Why did God choose that? Well, I cannot say. I can only say that the Spirit of Jesus prevented Paul from going into Bithynia. Yes, Paul planned to go to Bithynia, but God redirected him. And because Paul was sensitive to what God wanted him to do, the history of Western civilization, indeed the history of the whole world, was radically altered. Let me suggest four simple rules for knowing God's will. The first rule is this: you must want to know God's will. Do you really want to know God's will in your life? For example, do you really want to know God's will for you and your money? Well, the other day, my wife and I were talking about the building program the elders are recommending to the congregation, and we've already been discussing how much we're going to give. What figure do you have in mind? She asked. No way, I replied. You have to tell me first what amount you are thinking about. Now, the reason we go through this little charade is we do it every year at budget time because we both want to know God's will for us and our money. And we are convinced that He will make His will known to us by giving us an agreement, a unity in the Spirit over the amount. So after we argued back and forth for a while, as usual, she won, and I named an amount. And then she told me what she had been thinking. And the figures were very close together, so that immediately we had a unity of spirit about it. Well, that's because we really wanted to know God's will. Do you want to know God's will? Really know it for how you spend your time? Do you want to know God's will for what friends you associate with? Do you want to know God's will for what job you will have, what house you will buy, what automobile you will purchase? The second rule for knowing God's will for your life is to listen to the inner voice of the Holy Spirit. We can call this God's subjective witness. God's Spirit within us will give us nudgings, inklings, feelings about what is right and what is wrong. Do you remember how the Bible tells when the baby Jesus was taken by Mary and Joseph to the temple to make sacrifice according to the law of Moses? And when they got there, the Bible tells us there was a man there named Simeon. And the Bible says this about Simeon: the Holy Spirit was upon him, and it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he should not see death before he saw the Lord's Christ. Here we are introduced to a man listening to the inner leading of God's witness, hearing God's Spirit directing him in his heart. Subjective witness. Or here's another example. Several Sundays ago, we talked about the spiritual revival that broke out in Antioch among the Gentiles, and Barnabas was sent down to supervise that outpouring. And so he found out it was too much for him. So he went and got Paul and brought him down. And after they had been there for a while, the Bible says this about them: while they were worshiping the Lord and fasting, the Holy Spirit said, here's the subjective witness, set apart for me Barnabas and Saul for the work to which I have called them. So here's the subjective witness of the Holy Spirit. And then the Bible says, they laid their hands on them and sent them off. And that began the greatest moment in the history of Christian missions. But the subjective witness is not enough. You see, sometimes the voice we hear in our hearts is not God's voice, but our own desires. For example, if you hear a voice telling you to take some money that doesn't belong to you, that can't be God's voice, because God's voice says, thou shalt not steal. So the third rule for knowing God's will is this: check what you hear in your heart against the Word of God in Scripture. To put it another way, check that subjective voice with that objective voice, Scripture. You see, God never contradicts Himself. God never tells me one thing in my heart and something else in Scripture. God is always consistent. My feelings may mislead me. My feelings may make me think I'm going to Bithynia when really God is sending me to Troas. So God never contradicts Himself. Does that make sense to you? If what I hear in my heart is contrary to what I read in God's Word, then I know the voice in my heart is not the voice of God. Does that voice in your heart tell you it's okay to get even with somebody who's hurt you? Then that's not God's voice, for the Bible says to love your enemies. Does the voice in your heart tell you it's okay not to tithe because you need the money for other things? Then that's not God's voice, because the Bible tells you to tithe. So we have a principle. If we are in God's will, in the Bible, we will always find God's guidelines for our actions. We will find an objective witness to lead us. Now that gives us three principles for knowing God's will. First, we must want to know it. Second, we must listen for the inner leading of the Holy Spirit. And third, we must search the Scriptures for God's objective witness. But here is a fourth principle. We must look for God's providential witness. Well, what in the world is a providential witness? It means simply that if I really want to know God's will, if I have the inner leading of the Holy Spirit, if it is consistent with God's word, then God will open a door of opportunity. Isn't that what happened to Paul? He thought he was going to Bithynia, but he was really going to Troas. And when he got to Troas instead, what happened? Well, he tells us what happened. He writes to the Corinthians, and in 2 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 12, he tells us, "When I came to Troas to preach the gospel of Christ, a door was opened for me in the Lord." A door was opened. And then he adds, "But thanks be to God, who in Christ always leads us in triumph." Art Linkletter was having a chat with a little boy and observed that the child was very bright. So he asked him, "Young man, which came first, the chicken or the egg?" And without hesitation, the boy quickly replied, "The chicken came first." Somewhat surprised, Mr. Linkletter asked, "Why are you so positive?" Replied the boy, "Because God would never lay an egg." Well, I want to tell you that's true. God never lays an egg. If something's God's will for you, a door of opportunity will open. Paul once wrote to the Colossians, "Pray for us also that God may open to us a door for the word." And another time he wrote, "But I will stay in Ephesus until Pentecost, for a wide door for effectual work has opened for me." God's not in the egg-laying business. He's in the door-opening business. God doesn't lay eggs. He opens doors. Let me say one final thing about God's will. We can want to know God's will. We can feel the leading of the Holy Spirit. We can find the confirmation in the Word of God, and a door of opportunity can be opened before us, but we still may not do the will of God because we don't want to walk through that door. Do you ever have that problem? I know I do. After I got out of seminary, I served a church in Houston for 4 years, and by that time I received a call from another church. And I measured that call against the four principles I have laid down. And as I prayed about it, God in His Holy Spirit spoke to my heart. And He said, "Andy, I want you to go to that church." But you know, that isn't what I wanted. I had something else in mind. And it took me 3 days of wrestling with God to surrender and to obey God to do His will. So it isn't enough to know the first four principles, for there is a fifth principle. You must do God's will. Paul's road to Bithynia led somewhere else. It led instead to Troas and thence to Macedonia. And God changed the history of Western civilization. He changed history because Paul went on to do God's will. The Bible tells us, "And when he had seen the vision, immediately we sought to go." Dr. E. Stanley Jones tells how he visited the Holy Land. And when he came to the Garden of Gethsemane, he knelt there where Jesus had knelt that bitter night. And he remembered the words Jesus had prayed that night. Nevertheless, not my will, but your will be done. And Dr. Jones said all of his life he had thought of that prayer as a prayer of resignation. Lord, let this cup pass from me, and nevertheless, your will be done. But as he knelt there that day, it suddenly dawned on him that it was not a prayer of resignation at all. No, it was a prayer of resolution. Thy will be done. And Jesus walked through the door that God opened. So in the end, it's not enough for God to put us on the road to somewhere else and open a door of opportunity. No, we must pray the prayer of resolution that Jesus prayed. Thy will be done. Let us pray. Lord, part of our problem is we don't really want to know your will. Too often we already know it and we want to pretend we don't because it isn't what we want to do. And then when we do know your will, we don't want to walk through the doors you open. God, help us to want to know your will, to be obedient to it, to walk through the doors of opportunity and to say, Lord, thy will be done. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.